from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline. We had Bill's joint practice yesterday. He'll run through everything that happened, reading his recap at WGR550.com, again, to remember some of the things we're going to have to get to. Jeremy and Joe and Mr. Capaccio. Hey, Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
The boss last night, is tonight Paul Skeens at PNC?
Yes, I think we're going to do that. See Paul Skeens tonight. I got to tell you, last night was pretty wild. Like, I mean, the boss. And then in this business, we get to meet a lot of people, hang out with a lot of people. You know, you just know people through connections, right? And I don't know if I told you guys, I don't know if you were listening to the afternoon show yesterday. But so, went to see the boss last night, me and my buddy Bill Whippert. He's the photographer for the Bills and Sabres, and it was great. And I'd seen the boss, back in like 2000 in Tampa. Bill's seen him a few times. Bill actually has pictures he took of Bruce Springsteen in 1980 at the Odd. How do you like that? Wow. When he was playing at the Odd in 1980. That's amazing, right? So anyway, yesterday at Bill's practice, Adam Schefter, Adrian Wojnarowski, and Pete Thamel all came. And it was not because of practice. They'd all kind of planned to go to see Bruce Springsteen in Pittsburgh. So it just so happened the Bills and Steelers were there. So these guys are at practice. It's great. So, you know, I know Woj from a couple years ago doing the Coaches versus Cancer down in Olean. So after practice, just kind of said hi to him and a few other people he was hanging around. Well, just so happens our buddy Mike McDonald from Damon said he was coming up as well. Said, hey, let's meet out. They're all going to the concert. So after the concert, I went and met up with them. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting at a table, okay, with Adrian Wojnarowski, Will Hardy, who's the head coach of the Utah Jazz, Jeff Passan, and Dusty May, who's the head coach of Michigan. And they all came in to basically just go to the – and I'm just sitting there hanging out with these guys, right? It was pretty wild, actually, to be honest with you.
Nice. Well, it makes for a nice evening, you know?
I mean, yeah. So anyway, I'm waking up this morning thinking, wow, how crazy was that, right? You go see the boss, and then you wind up at the boss table, I guess. I don't know. Just kind of having some fun. So it was awesome. Boss was great. I don't know if you guys ever seen him before, Bruce Springsteen, but I got to tell you – I mean, he's older than my parents. He's going to be 75 this year, and he put on an absolutely freaking amazing show for 3 straight hours.
Nice. Well, glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Schefter there in town for the big news about Milano. We'll get to the rest of practice in a minute. So Matt Milano, Sal, it's you know, Bills fans are understandably disappointed he'll be out for some time. Not the season, though. Like, this is a definite idea he could return. And I wonder what you make of Joe's theory as we get this whole thing, like, where if Milano was not going to be ready or not 100%, this gives him more time to get to 100%, because it's not like a bicep is something we would worry about the same way with a broken leg that he's trying to come back from. So, you know, if in fact he does come back in December, would you be optimistic that you would be getting Matt Milano 100%?
Yeah, when I mean 100%, Sal, I was saying, like, with the leg specifically.
By then, with the leg, I would. But I honestly thought he'd be basically like that now with the leg. You know, I think that his leg, to me, was more about confidence, getting the reps with the leg. I think the leg, to me, seems pretty healed. It's more about him trusting it. Now, I'm not the doctor here. I don't know that, of course. But I think after this time, just listening to Sean McDermott talk, listening to, you know, Brandon Bean and everybody talk about him, more about kind of feeling comfortable. And, you know, I asked Brandon Bean last week in our production meeting before the game, I said, what is your confidence that Matt Milano will be your starting Will linebacker week one? And the reason I asked that is because he hadn't played in the red and blue. He didn't play in the preseason game. And Sean said, medically, the plan is this, and this is where he is. And I said, what's your confidence? He said, oh, he will be. Like, there's no doubt. So that told me, like, they were very comfortable with where he was with a leg. It was more about getting out there and getting those reps. Now, you know, I think the leg-wise, if you want a silver lining, right, I think that's exactly that, which is he gets another few months with the leg. But, guys, I mean, there's no guarantee here he comes back this season. That's the part about this, right, that really you don't know. It's going to come down to what options they have. There's always options for how you do surgery, when you do surgery, and, you know, the recovery timeline of that. And nobody really knows that right now. So I'm guessing it's going to be a kind of a month-by-month situation before we even know that. You hope that you can get him back, and you hope you can get him back, and you're still kind of fighting for AFC East, you know, a title and, you know, the AFC and one seed and all those kinds of things. But there's no guarantee that he comes back this year.
Yeah. How we talk about, like, how deflated the fans are, Sal, after this happens. What about, like, the other players? Because he wasn't on the field for a lot of last year, but, I mean, you look at that roster and who's been a part of it the longest with all of the guys that have left. Like, Milano's been here since McDermott got here. And he's, you know, I don't know in terms of his leadership and whatnot. Like, I know you've said he's more of a quiet guy with the media, at least. So I don't know, like, how do you sense the vibe is player-wise with one of the core pieces of that defense now going to be gone for at least a while?
I think, like, one of the really underrated things that Matt Milano brings, and it's because he is not a very loud guy, and he is a quiet leader. He just kind of goes about his business. He's incredibly smart and communicates this defense very well. And it doesn't mean that he's the guy necessarily moving people around, but that communication between him and Terrell Bernard and him and somebody in front of him, or maybe even could even be Taron Johnson next to him, you know, because they're playing the same level. I don't think people realize, like, maybe a lot of people do, but he's such a smart football player. And that's why he can diagnose things so incredibly fast. He's been in this defense since 2017. The defense has largely not changed. He knows it like the back of his hand. The fact that his position coach, who helped turn him into an all-pro, is now the defensive coordinator and understands his strengths and where to put him and how him and Bernard work together, I think was a major plus. I think one of the real shames of all this, to me, is we're not going to see Milano and Bernard work together. I was looking so forward to that, guys. I think, Joe, you and I, when we would talk in the, you know, back in the Extra Point Show together, I would say multiple times, maybe the thing I'm looking forward to the most this year is seeing those guys play together. Like, that's how excited I was, just to see what they could be and what they could do. And now that's not going to happen. And it is football, and, you know, you're going to have another guy step up. In this case, it's going to be Dorian Williams, which I'm sure we'll touch on here. But I'll just tell you, I think that, you know, him in this defense and knowing it, and, you know, versus other guys who are in their, you know, second year or third year, and they're not quite Matt Milano level, and they're still working their way. I mean, that's a pretty significant drop in each area.
So, Capaccio. All right, so Dorian Williams, who they have, you know, the athletic profile is good, Sal, but the shortcomings, they've not always trusted him. How do you feel about his growth and what has to happen for him to be a regular starter for this team?
Well, he's going to be. He's going to be a regular starter until, you know, we'll see what happens when Matt Milano comes back. Unless, you know, hey, listen, if Dorian Williams isn't the starter after week, you know, five or six, then either A, unfortunately he was injured, or B, something went really wrong. And, you know, that's not a good thing. But last year that's what happened, right, guys? Dorian Williams went in a little bit, and then we saw Tyrell Dodson, who kind of took it over, and they were okay there. Let's remember, like, the Bills did a pretty good job once they kind of figured it out, and they settled in last year. And, yeah, there were some bad, rough moments, end of games, things like that, you know, when it came to, you know, closing things out. I know that. But at the end of the year, despite the fact that they were still banged up, you know, the defensive coaching staff did a really good job, and the guys who were out there kind of understood their roles, and they really kind of had to piece it all together. In Dorian Williams' case here, he became a backup in that situation. He's going to be your main guy. Now, look, this is year number two. I mean, I'm not going to predict he becomes Terrell Bernard, of course. Terrell Bernard is, I think, terrific. But didn't we all kind of wonder what the heck Terrell Bernard's going to bring in replacement of Tremaine Edmonds last year at this time? And how many people do you guys remember going, I can't believe how small our middle linebacker is, you know, Bills fans, and oh my God, like, what is he going to bring? He, you know, as much as Tremaine didn't bring these splash plays, you know, this is going to be probably a big downgrade. And he was hurt, and he was coming up, and he had to kind of play right away. But so look, there's always a chance here that this guy becomes absolutely terrific. But what I've seen from him in a year is he is just a guy who flies to the ball. Unfortunately, flies there a little too fast sometimes. The game isn't slowed down enough for him. He hasn't slowed it down. He hasn't slowed himself down, I should say. He's just trying to make every play at 150 miles an hour when sometimes you have to be able to, you know, set yourself, slow down a little bit. I like that part of what I've seen from him, though, in training camp, guys. I've specifically watched him in camp do this, which is he slowing down enough to get to his run fit, to not overrun the play, to not be caught out of position? I think he's done a really good job there. A big question I have, though, is what is he in the passing game? That was an area that he really needed to grow last year. Mm-hmm. And I wonder now this year, do the Bills lean more into even dime like they did last year? Remember what they did last year? By the end of the year, it was Jordan Poyer on the field as a third safety instead of two linebackers. So they played six DBs, one linebacker a lot, instead of five DBs and two linebackers. Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard, you're not doing that. These guys are on the field first down, second down, third down. With Dorian Williams, I think that's where we're going to have to see his growth come into play. He's good against the run. He'll get there. He's going to make a couple plays where you're like, okay, this kid, like, he can bring it to the party, right? But in the passing game, is he going to be targeted? Our team's they're going to test him right away, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but the way their safety room is, Sal, they can't even, like, even if they wanted to think, hey, maybe we try that again, like, who would you do it with? Like, Taylor Rapp did it a little bit before Poyer ended up being the guy for that role. And, like, you can't afford to put – I don't think you can afford to put any of your safeties down there, even in, like, a special package. You're just too thin. Unless guys start coming back, which I guess could happen by the regular season.
I think that's the key, Joe, right? If you get – what has to happen, you're 100% right. In this situation, you'd have to have Edwards and Bishop really healthy because I don't know what your other options would be there. But yes, that's what you're banking on. But if you want to get to that package,
which you would hope happens, like I'm looking at like some of the like the RAS score, relative athletic score stuff from Dorian Williams, Sal, coming out of college. Which, by the way, like it kind of is like all the comparisons to Bernard. It's similar not only that they were third round picks, but it's similar to me that when they were third round picks, we sat here on draft night, or at least some of us did, and went, what are they doing drafting a linebacker behind blank when is that guy ever going to play? And here they both are being asked to play in their second season. Williams ran 40-yard dash, take it for what it's worth. He ran a 4.49. Like, he ran a 99th percentile. It's like a wide receiver level 40-yard dash. So we know he's fast, Sal. You just would hope the Bills saw what he didn't do well last year and can harness that. Because if you can, I mean, it's hard to get a linebacker that's faster than he is.
It's so funny you say that. I was just thinking this morning how, Jeremy, you and I, we've talked about this over the years, and I think, you know, you agree. Like, we talk and say, people always talk about need in the NFL. Oh, why do you, you don't need that? You're always going to need something at some point. Like, you have to, you never know when your needs change. Your needs always change, right? And we talked about that many times, which is, oh, well, why'd they draft a linebacker in the third round behind that guy? They don't need him. Well, guess what? They did need him a little while after that, a year after that, and then this year. Now you need him right now. So your needs always change, and that's why you have to build depth. That's why those picks are important. And, you know, they come in here and you develop them. That's why development's important. Guys aren't going to get on the field right away. I talked to Taron Johnson yesterday about, you know, hey, here's this guy Dorian Williams going into his second year. Like, how long did it take you when you realized, like, okay, you know, I'm not quite ready? He said, no. He said, I wasn't ready when I came in. Taron Johnson is a fifth-round pick who turned into an all-pro, right? Matt Malone.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fano's a fifth round pick that turned into an all pro, and he was talking about how when you come in, you know, you think you're ready right away, but then you realize you're just not ready and you have to develop yourself. And it does take you a little time. Taron said, it's taken him years to kind of understand completely the defense, everybody's assignment. It took him a good full year, even more, to know exactly what he's doing every single time something happens. And those are things that you just need to develop, guys. You can't walk in right away and say, well, third round pick. Joe, it's the reason why. When Cole Bishop was drafted this year, and I'm like, hey, great, maybe he starts, but I don't know if he gets on the field that much. And people, well, you can't have your second round pick not be on the field. I mean, it's that easy just to walk in and know it and get right on the field. You have to be able to do that. By the way, Bale Inspector, he did not practice yesterday either. He's out a week. Yeah. I mean, that's your backup middle linebacker to Terrell Bernard. So, I mean, there's a lot to get sorted out here. They have a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now before opening game, and you know, we'll see where it goes. I think the communication piece with Terrell Bernard, that's going to be better, but it's still going to be something that, you know, Dorian Williams has to work on. But I agree, he's an athlete, and you know, he's going to be thrown into the fire here, and we'll see, you know, if he can at least be something a little better, both, you know, diagnosing and in play than he was last year, and if that will allow him to kind of be available in all situations.
Sal, all right, so on to practice and how things went. Let's talk about the offense first. We've kind of talked about this where, you know, we're so used to seeing Josh Allen look good that it's kind of become very normal and, I mean, not quite forgettable, but we're just used to it. Was that the case against Pittsburgh in this joint practice yesterday? The offense just did the things that it normally does.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it was a really good day. As I said to you guys yesterday, that I love these kinds of things if they're done right. I thought it was done right. There was a little pushing and shoving. Jeremy, did you see my tweet to you about, I think you won.
I did. If anybody fought, yes. Elam did because he got into it, but it wasn't that serious of a fight, huh? I'll take the win.
No, there was none of that. Yeah, there was none of that. Someone told me that before that, there was a little pushing and shoving with Greg Rousseau and somebody. I'm like, All right, well, that's all right. I'll give it to Jeremy for Elam. So, but that. It's a good thing, though, that we're not talking about how, oh, my God, it blew up into this or that. There was one moment where it could have got worse. I'll tell you real quick, which was, as a sidebar, I'm going to talk about the, I won't forget your question. Guys, I have no idea why, and I'm still trying to figure out. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not put their quarterbacks in a different color jersey.
I saw you point this out.
Really?
Yeah, they were wearing the same as everybody else, and I started to...
They look like everybody else.
Yeah.
They look like everybody else. So, literally, like Russell Wilson... It gets on the perimeter, and if you are a guy whose head isn't turned that way and you look, you would think he's a running back, and you go and pop him, right? Uh-huh. I'm like, why would Mike Tomlin not put his quarterbacks in a red jersey or something else? They literally just look like everybody else on the offense. So that said, I'm not saying this is why it happened. It wasn't, but Russell Wilson's in the pocket, and he's ready to throw, and I think it was Rousseau and maybe Von Miller. But they were coming in, and they were like going up top to kind of block a pass, but he would look, then he kind of tucked it down. And as Rousseau came down with somebody, he just kind of came down and the pocket collapsed and he hit Russ because he's so tall and his arms came down on him. Well, Russ goes down. He was okay. But now a crowd draws because this is the quarterback at practice and it's the other team hitting him, right? Which he didn't really hit him. Just kind of bumped him. That drew a crowd. That was one there that could have got worse. And then there was another one with Khalil Shakir got tackled and kind of thrown to the ground. They weren't really tackling yesterday. It was more of an up-thud practice with the Steelers. And he got thrown to the ground. And Spencer Brown came right in and he gave the guy a shove. The guy tried to, I think, put his hands up in Spencer Brown's face and couldn't reach, to be quite honest. I think that what do I say? Save the fight. Josh and the offense looked good, but there were definitely moments where, the Steelers won the rep. There was one where Josh went back and MVS, to me, I think Josh thought MVS was going to sit. MVS kept going. Josh threw it to the spot where he was. Easy interception. That was the only time I saw him get picked off. The biggest thing that I saw from the offense, the most encouraging thing, they were like unstoppable in the middle of the field, guys. Tight ends, Dawson Knox didn't practice. Dalton Kincaid, Quinton Morris, Zach Davidson. I think Kincaid and Quinton Morris had excellent practice. Kincaid was, at one point, Josh Reed looked at me and said, do you think Mike Tomlin told his guys not to cover Dalton Kincaid today? I was like, I don't think he told him that because that's kind of what it was like. I'm not kidding you. Khalil Shakir, middle of the field. Josh threw an absolute unbelievable ball over top of the defense to Khalil Shakir down the seam, basically. Like, the Bills just owned the middle of the field. They came right out in the in a goal line period. Fall from the 2-yard line. First pass, Josh to James Cook, who I thought had a very nice practice, much better, held on to everything, 1-on-1, 7-on-7, very good practice for James Cook. Josh hits James Cook in the front corner, easy, like kind of right at the, as he's getting out in the flat, no one's covering him, easy touchdown there. Next pass incomplete, next pass middle of the field, Dalton Kincaid touchdown. So there were a lot of good moments like that.
All right, so that's the offense. Defensively, how did things look for the Bills?
The thing that concerned me on the defense was something that happened last week. I saw Russell Wilson and Justin Fields out on the perimeter and kind of have way too much room. Like, I know you're not game planning, but it's got to be something that's got to be addressed. Like, to me, scheme, whatever it is, like, you got to be able to make sure that these guys are staying more in the pocket. And I'm sure, again, like I said, game planning, they'll do that. But because it happened last week against the Bears, and then yesterday it happened a few times against the Steelers, I thought the run defense looked pretty good. A couple runs here or there the Steelers did a nice job on, but the run defense overall looks pretty good. A little in the one-on-ones, few too many flags for me from the Bills defense. The officials are out there. Kyer Elam had one where just was unnecessary. He actually had good coverage and for some reason just made a boneheaded mistake to kind of run into the guy when he was and kind of looking back for the ball, but didn't really have to if he would have turned his head. A little grabby there. Otherwise, I thought, you know, went pretty well. One-on-ones are always tough for DBs, especially, you know, when you're going in so much space. These guys have so much. You have no help, right? It's just a one-on-one. You have no help. You're covering essentially 53 and a third yards one-on-one, you know, wide. So it's always tough. The offense is always going to get a an advantage there. And then really quickly, I know you didn't ask me about it. I'll go back to that. Keon Coleman one-on-ones.
Specifically
watched him. I charted some stuff early on. So Keon Coleman, and I think this is probably going to be the case all year, which is, like, if he beats you off the line, you are toast. Like, you just can't stay with him because of his length and his separation. But if you can stay with him on the line, it's too tough for him to get separation down the field. It's a lot of feast or famine in that regard. And the first two reps he took, first one was, I think, overthrown, but it was good coverage, didn't matter. Second one, just great coverage by, I wrote it down in my notes, it might have been Joey Porter, actually. But just really good coverage on him, couldn't separate. Third rep, he comes out, and he just makes this little move off the line of scrimmage. Really nice move. And the DB goes one way, he goes the other, and there's no chance. Now he just runs by him. You can't catch him. He's fast enough. He's a strider. He's got length. And Josh just puts a dime on him down the sideline for a touchdown. First guy to him was Josh. They just were celebrating like, yeah, that was it. That's what you do. So I think that's, to me, what you're going to see a lot of this year with Coleman, which is if he can get off the line and beat somebody, like, he's beating them. You're not getting with him after that. If he can't, he's going to struggle through the route to get that separation.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, in those moments, it's kind of the question, how will they use him? Where will they line him up? What kind of routes is he going to run? What will they look to him for? Will he be a red zone, I don't want to say specialist, that makes it sound like he's only used inside the 20. Will he be more of a focal point in the red zone? You know, you say they're eating over the middle of the field, Sal. That's one thing where Kincaid and Shakir, they live. And if they do mix in Coleman as a big slot, then all of a sudden he's in the middle of the field. So it might be a team that just, you know, on the outsides, it's Mac Hollins, MVS, Corey Davis. Do we hear anything more about Corey Davis? You know,
no, nothing yet.
It could just be a middle of the field kind of idea for this offense.
I think they've wanted to do this for a while. I think what the Bills have really tried to do here for a few years is really kind of replicate what they were with Cole Beasley and, you know, how they own the middle of the field there with Cole Beasley and even, you know, Dawson Knox early in his career, whatever, you know, insert a couple of the players they've had here and there. But that's where they were really great. They were great when they could control the middle of the field. And, you know, they just haven't had that the last few years. I think that's a big reason they drafted Dalton Kincaid. They want to run 12 personnel, not be, just because of the matchups, but I think that helps them control the middle of the field, both in the pass game and the run game. When you can run 12 personnel and you can put two tight ends there, now you're putting matchups, and maybe you're getting other teams a little bit smaller in the box because they're going with their personnel and covering you there, and you can block them there. You can obviously run your tight ends or your slot guys, Khalil Shakir, whoever, but, you know, they don't have a Cole Beasley. And I've said this a few times, you know, and I want to see tomorrow night. You're looking at this wide receiver group. I still think Andy Isabella factors in here. And he's not Cole Beasley, but I think he's that kind of guy where I think that he brings to them a few things that they want. But I don't know if he's still on the outside looking in. I would probably say that is the case, actually. But I don't think this whole, you know, receiver group competition is over yet. There's a top four. And then there's, yeah, Tyrell Shavers. He was all okay yesterday. Didn't stand out necessarily in any good or bad way. That's probably good for him, actually. You know, MVS, who I think, again, another kind of mistake yesterday with Josh. Communication, where does that stand? You know, they're still trying to figure this out. Speaking of Corey Davis, you know, they worked him out yesterday, and, you know, no word on that. But that's why I think they're still trying to figure out what's going on here.
Starters, how much do we expect to see tomorrow night?
Great question, Jeremy. We do not know that yet. Sean was asked about it yesterday. Before practice, he said he has an idea of what he wants to do, but he didn't think it was fair to even, you know, kind of go talk about that or maybe even reveal to the players. I think he said as they were preparing for a joint practice and going out there. Now, that said, did he want to see what he saw in the joint practice before determining that? He said he had an idea. Would that change it if they look really good, if things go our way, like I don't need to play? I don't know. I don't really know. Hopefully we'll get word today and, you know, be able to let everybody know in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, we might not know until tomorrow evening.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
All right, guys, you got it. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy Paul Skeens tonight, the Pirates game. Sal Capaccio live from Pittsburgh on the Western Hotline as we get ready for tomorrow night's game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Full slate of games coming up tomorrow, week 2 in the preseason. The Bills are back home for Carolina. When we get back, let's talk about this rookie receiver class, because I don't know if you've had the same experience here, Joe. Early on, Xavier Worthy had the highlight of camp, right? He had the big viral touchdown. Mm-hmm. Coleman's had his moments. I saw two others yesterday. Neighbors has had his. I saw two others from the rookie class yesterday start to get a little bit of love. And I wonder how much we will talk about Coleman in that context. You know, there's the evaluating the weapons based on no digs and what they are without digs. And then there's just how does he look as you drafted one guy in the deepest receiver class in a long time, where he stacks up with them. Because one guy yesterday started getting a lot of attention, and it's noteworthy. That's coming up here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.